There is a church in Los Angeles, the Cathedral Church of Los Angeles. It was built, completed somewhat right after 9/11, 2001. It's a really recent church. There's something very unique about this church. It is the largest church in America, by the way. But the structure of this church is rather modern and contemporary. When you see it, it doesn't come across as a church at first. When you walk in it, it's very profound. It kind of moves you in a different way. But not in the traditional way we're familiar with the way churches kind of can move us. And the reason why is because it's very stark, very simplistic in images, very direct, very harsh at times. And this simplicity, this harshness, this kind of direct, bold statement of a building is powerful in and of itself. It's not the traditional look. Most people kind of see and hope to see stained glass windows, hope to see statues plastered everywhere. They hope to see the finery of these old, wonderful churches. It puts us in the mood of church. But this one puts us in a more dynamic, dramatic way of church. There are no stained glass windows. There are these wonderful lights from the top that allow this bright light to shine through, and it crosses and slams against the different angles of the church, causing a lot of different fractions of light, but light comes in. You notice that the walls are not gilded or painted. It's bare sandstone, stark, has this kind of earthiness to it, but it's attractive. It pulls you in. There are no statues except two. The one statue you see is a crucifixion in the front of the church. Big, huge, bold statement of Christ's death. There are no Stations of the Cross. But what you begin to see, the other statue they have, is a statue of Mary. But it's put over the doorway when you walk in. It's not given reverence other than the fact that you have to walk through Mary to get in. But without having any other pictures or any other statues in that building, what you begin to know, they fill these huge, massive walls with tapestries. Now, tapestries are not what we use today in our kind of visual presentation of buildings. It's an old form, but this modern form chose the tapestries of the past. Tapestries are those great pieces of artwork where you take the fibers, the threads of different various colors, and you kind of weave them together to create an image. It's a different form of art. Very attractive. Very painstaking. But when you walk in, you see on the side of this massive cathedral these like 40-foot tapestries. And they are the pictures of some 140 saints. And they go all the way back to the beginning of the church, all the way up to the present day. You got Mother Teresa up there. You got John Paul II up there. And you see all these communion of saints just filling the side walls of this bare-looking cathedral. All of the pictures, all those images of those saints are all facing one way. And they all are gazing towards that cross in the front. Every one of them are facing that cross. They're not looking any other way but at that cross. Behind this massive cross is another tapestry, very subtle, almost abstract. It's the grid of L.A. It's the streets of the city of L.A. all over the back of these, the wall there. Right behind, you see the cross, and you see this city streets going every which way behind this crucifix. And then you turn around on your way out. And as you walk out, you see these remarkably huge tapestries right in front of the baptistry. And it's a large baptistry of water. And all those tapestries have just nothing but kind of images of just waving water. But the one tapestry that goes from the top to the bottom is a bold picture of the baptism of Jesus. I'll tell you, my friends, I have never seen this picture ever anywhere. We got our images of what we think the baptism looks like. But when you walk out of this massive cathedral, you're struck as you walk out of those doors, this image of Jesus Christ just being baptized. And it's huge. Here's what it looks like. This is the baptism of Jesus in that huge cathedral in L.A. I've never seen a picture of the baptism like this. It takes your breath away. And the striking thing about this image of the baptism of Jesus Christ is that those wavy lines carry into this huge panel, almost to the point that you don't even see John the Baptist up here because he kind of fades into the waves. You never get to see these things, by the way. But when you look at this, you begin to see a striking image of Jesus who stood in those waters to say, I have a mission. And the thing that hits me and strikes me, and I hope you saw it right off, the first two things you begin to see is not the face of Jesus. His back is to you. You don't have the full image of Jesus because he's fallen to his knees. You can't even see the back of his head for the most part. It's bowed down. But the two things that strike me when I see this picture are his feet. They're dirty. And you see the bottom of his feet that looks like he's making, has made a journey. He has walked in life like many people walk in life. And life gets dirty. And he identified with him to the point that when he chose to walk into this life, he promised that he would get his feet dirty as well. Because he walks our walk. But the other remarkable, bold statement, besides the feet, is his back. His bare back. That stands out more than anything. It's not lost in the waviness. It's a bold statement, and you see this bare back of Christ. And when I see that image there, there are no robes to disguise it. It's the bare back of a human being. And I can't help but feel when I look at this picture, I hear the words coming out of the lips of Jesus, "I got your back." I got your back. I'll walk this walk, and when it gets rough, I got your back. And this image that sits in that cathedral is a stark reminder of where we Christians need to be. I got your back. Today, we read the story of the Beatitudes. Did that story of the Beatitudes seem a little different to you? If it did, then you're paying attention, because it was. There are two stories of the Beatitudes. Most of us really are drawn to the one that we always know about. We're drawn to the nice spiritual kind of, you know, softening image that you see in Matthew's reading of the Beatitudes. But blessed are those who poor at heart. Blessed are those who are the peacemakers. That's a softening, kind of a great visual of how we need to be and act. You didn't get that in the reading today. There are 8 Beatitudes in Matthew. You only have 4 in today. And they get down to the crust of it all. They get down to the essence of what that message is about. And when you look at that stark statement of the Beatitudes, you notice some interesting things. The first thing you remember about Matthew, they call it the Sermon on the Mount. Because Matthew talks about Jesus going to the top of the mountain and talking out to his people and giving them these remarkable statements of how to live your life. He does it from the top of a mountain. The reading that we have in Luke today, we're not on a mountaintop. It says he walks down into the plain. It's called the Sermon on the Plain. Not on a mountain. Because all of a sudden Luke is trying to get us to look at something differently. We're not trying to look through the eyes of our ancestry, our people, the Moses, the mountaintop. We're asked to look at the eyes of bare people as they live their life. And we walk into the plains and everyone is equal. No one stands out. No one better than anybody else. And on that plain, you hear the words of the Beatitudes. Notice how he changes one little word in there. The one we're familiar with, the one that we like to hear, the soft one, the one with platitudes, is a distance. Blessed are those who are. Blessed are those who are. This one says, blessed are you Because he's pointing right at us, followers of Jesus. And he's asking us, you are blessed. When he says, you're poor. When you're hungry. When you're beaten. Those images are what he wants us to look at in those Beatitudes. Not the loftiness of the others. Not the majestic thing we're so accustomed to see. Easier on the heart to take. He wants us to get into the stark reality of what these words mean. That there's something powerful about blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the weak. Blessed are those who are beaten and persecuted. Like I said, we don't want to hear that. Our whole society tells us, don't pay attention to that. But Luke is saying, look at it. Get in the heart of that reading. And he calls every one of us to be broken, to be beaten, and to be forgotten. Because that's where you find the only thing you'll find in life that's important. Not all those things we expect to have. You'll find the essence of truth when you're most broken, and most beaten, and most forgotten. That's where you find your God, who says, I got your back. That's profound. That's the essence of our faith. And woe to us who begin to look at things that are really going to suffice us. The tapestries of what we really think are really cool. Our wealth, our fame, our fortune, our prestige, our position. When you can get down to the essence of poor and hungry and beaten and forgotten, you'll find your God. You'll find your God. That's what Luke is telling us. Blessed are those who find a God that way. He's not telling us to go and give up all your wealth and to be able to do all these other things, feed everybody you can. He's telling us to get into the heart of the matter what happens when you're broken. And every one of us in this church have been broken. And when we've been broken, the only thing we know we need, the only thing that we can depend on, is this God of ours. I need you. Because I'm broken. That's when you're blessed. When you can accept the fact and realize that God is all I need. That's why we have that baptism. That's why we have those Beatitudes. And I think that's, in a way, what they were trying to say by that picture on the wall in that church. God has our back, and that's all you need. Did you ever realize the most beautiful songs you ever heard? The most powerful poems you've ever read, the most dramatic stories you've ever really listened to, or movies you've ever seen, The most dramatic, powerful, the most beautiful, the most touching ones are the ones that come from brokenness. Because they get to the heart of where we are, and it tells us, I need this God of mine. That's a profound message. And you know, it's kind of contrary to what we expect. When they put that church up in California, the people did not like it at all. Because they wanted the trappings and the tradition and the loftiness and the spirituality and the blessedness of what their church is all about. But when they were given the starkness and the reality of poverty and hunger and grief and pain, they didn't want to hear that. But the message is very real for you and me. The Beatitudes are, blessed are those who are poor and hungry and grieve and are lost and are forgotten or ignored. That's where we find our God. And that's what Luke is trying to tell us. Identify and get in touch on the plains of life where most people in the world live. I'll end with this one little story. It's a story of a man in India whose sole job was to take water from a stream up the hill to his master's house. And the way he did that was with two huge water jugs. And every day he would get those water jugs, and he would put a piece of wood across his back, put one jug on one side of the other, one on the other side, filled it with water, and he made his way up the hill. It just so happened one of those jugs had a crack in it. When he got to the top of the hill, the one jug was able to give every amount of water that he was able to bring up that hill. And that one jug was proud. I'm better than the other crack jug. I can do more. And this other crack jug was ashamed because he had this crack running through it. And when he got to the top of the hill, his jar was only filled with half water. And he was really disappointed and ashamed. And he went to the master, to the man who took the jug up the hill. And he said, I know I'm a disappointment to you. This crack in the side of my jug does not allow you to take the most water up that hill. And the man said, I know. I could have gotten rid of you a long time ago. But did you ever notice the path on the way up that hill? So the next time when he went up that hill, he looked to see what he was talking about. And sure enough, the one thing he noticed was that the sun was shining bright and there were flowers all the way up that hill. And he said, that's great. That feels good. He said, but you didn't look at it, did you? Look at the hill again. Look at the path again. And sure enough, the flowers were only on one side. The side where the cracked jug was. And the old man said, I knew you were cracked. And that's when I said, I can turn this around. So he said, I would plant seeds all along the side where you were. knowing full well that you're, through your crack in that jug, was going to lose half the water on the way up. But look what you got, or I got, as a result of you losing that water. I got a mountainside of beautiful flowers. I never got that from the full, healthy jug. Now I can place flowers on everybody's table. And not just water in the basin at the top for the master. That's why the Beatitudes were written this way. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are those who grieve. Blessed are those who are forgotten. I can do wonderful things, says God, with my cracked jugs. God bless you.